Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Hallelujah. But anyway, let's just pray, and before we do anything else, just pray and go right into this. Father, thank you so much, God. The reason we celebrate, not just this day or not the 25th, Lord, we know that's not the day he was born, but it's the day we set aside to recognize that a Savior has come to the world, and his name is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Father, we celebrate that not just one time, but we celebrate it 365 days out of the year, Father. But Lord, we do set aside this time to put it in full remembrance of why we are here and what you created us for. So be with this time today, God. Be with the rest of this program today and message, God, coming up, Father. Let the words come alive off the page, and may it bring a whole reality of who Jesus is. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. And one more thing before I jump into the message, don't forget, everybody say life groups. Life groups are the life of this church. If you've never done one, you're missing out. So make sure you go out there. I think there's already some sign-up sheets out there. So make yourself available to that. But it's Christmas season, whether you like it or not. Whether you're ready for it or not, it's Christmas time. Amen?
Amen.
And so we certainly hope you're ready for it. But I want to welcome you today to a service that's set up just like every Sunday here, that literally has the power to take you out of hell and put you into heaven.
Amen.
That's the reason we do this, is to get people that are on their way to hell, either knowingly or unknowingly sometimes, and shift them and realize that you don't have to live that way and you don't have to have a destiny of hell. You can have a destiny of heaven.
Yeah.
And that's the reason God looked down and seen man, that we couldn't do it on our own, so he had to send us a Savior in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So wherever you're at today, whatever stage of life you're in, he's here today to do some things. He's here to restore some things to you, to redeem some things back to you, and to recover some things that may have been lost in your life. That's what he does. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say,
that's what my God does.
So this morning, if you walked in, you were handed a couple of things. You were handed an element cup. We call it the element. It's the communion cup with the wafer and the juice. And you were handed a candle. But how many know that we need to commune with God?
Amen.
Now go ahead and put up the first note today. It's going to be a little preachy today. Communion means this right here. It means to unify, union, co-unioning, together. It means unity. And I love this next word. It means empathy. Empathy is not a bad word. Empathy means I'm comforted in these things. Closeness. Everybody say closeness. Communion means I'm getting close. I'm drawing near. And you know what the Bible says? If we draw near to God, he's going to draw near to us. And if we lift him up, he'll draw all men nigh to him. And then the next definition, I love this one, it's called relationship. And then final one, intimacy. In other words, it's the highest form of knowing someone inside out. And that's what communion represents. For a church to come together as one, to be with our Savior, not just to know him as a religious figure, not just to know him as somebody way out there, but literally to come in unity with him, to come into empathy with what he empathizes over, to draw close to him as he wants to draw close to us, is all he's ever wanted to do, to come into a full relationship with Jesus Christ, his Son, and then finally, to be intimate with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That means to know him like nobody else can know him. And he's made himself available for you to know him in every way today. But I want to go real quickly. We're going to be covering some scriptures because communion is a very serious thing. It's not to be taken lightly. And I want to challenge you parents. Now, if your kid has an understanding, let them take. But if your kid doesn't understand, don't let them take. It's not cute. It's not something. It's not snack time. It's not a shot of juice and a little cracker. And when I read these next scriptures to you, you will understand how powerful communion is. And that's why I like to take a little time before we take communion, because it is so powerful that you don't jack with it. You don't mess with the purity of His communion. Again, you're coming into unity with God, not religion, but God Himself. Now, these scriptures fix to put up in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's going to go from verse 23 to verse 30, but we're not going to go in order, because I want to set some things up and show you the seriousness of it. The first one is verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you," not everybody else, "you that's doing this today, you proclaim" what? Come on, say it with me. "You proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." It's a declaration. It's not just a little bit of juice and a wafer. It's a declaration that you get to proclaim, because you belong to God. You've earned the right by the blood of Jesus to proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can I have a better amen there? Amen? In other words, you've accepted that Jesus died and He rose again for you. Amen? And again, let me tell you something. This is not something you're just going through emotion. This is a proclamation. Heaven hears the unity. Heaven hears everything you want to say. And then He gives the warning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through 30. Now watch this. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord," not your own cup, but it's the cup of the Lord, "in an unworthy manner will be," everybody say it with me, "guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to enter into that. I don't want my kids to enter into it. The only ones this is reserved for is those who know who they are in Christ and are of a mature level to be able to understand the depth of what's going to happen here in a moment when we take communion. Go ahead with the next verse. He says, "But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup." But it says we need to examine ourselves. And we're going to take just a moment before we take that. I always give that moment to take, because this is very serious. Look at the next verse. "For he who eats and drinks," and again, "an unworthy manner," now watch this, "eats and drinks judgment to himself." Another translation says you eat and drink damnation to yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, "That's serious." Because you haven't discerned the Lord's body. Now, a lot of times we stop there. But how many know that even in the culture we live in today, in the good old United States of America, that there are churches all over, they're gathered up today, denominations. I mean, it's the body of Christ. But in many, if not most of those places, there's a lot of people sick. There's a lot of people in sin in the church, blatant sin, not kind of, I'm doing it and I'm proud to do it, and I'm still going to go to church doing my sin. And the church people are dying early and often. And we're like, how can this be if they're God's people? Because when you don't understand the power that God wants to have with you, in you, to you, and through you to live that life, and you take it for granted and you treat it as common, and you come and you just take a sip of juice and a piece of cracker and don't think nothing about it. Well, look what the next verse says. "When we do that, this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." And the word translated in the Greek for sleep there is dead. You want to have a weak church and a weak nation and a weak body? Take this unworthily. But now what a lot of people do when they read that, they get a little scared because they know themselves. "Well, I know I'm not 100%. You ain't got to be 100%. You can't be 100%. There's no way any of us in here are 100% worthy and on our own merit. But what it does mean is it means you take the time and you examine, and whatever you need to get right, you pray and get right with God before you do take this. And you don't joke about taking it. You don't, okay, Lord, I'm going to take it today. But a lot of people go, well, I'm going to be real wise in here today, and I'm going to show how, Lord, how serious I am about not dishonoring him, and therefore I'm not going to take communion because I know I got some things to work on. That is the most stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Now, you think you're being sharp. I'm going to be wise. I'm not going to take it today because I'm not in the right manner. What you're telling God is, God, I'd rather not fellowship with you and keep my sin than get right and fellowship with you. Think about that for a moment. I'd rather not take it and speak damnation, but I'd rather stay in my damnation and my judgment or judgmental self than to get it under the blood where I can commune and be in unity and empathy and rejoice with God today. Think about that for a minute. Now again, if you had to be perfect, none of us would. But perfect means mature, and it's time for us to mature before we take this morning. So I want you just to bow your heads just for a few moments. I want you to take a moment. And I want you and the Holy Spirit in here today to do a self-examination. And while your head's bowed, I want to go ahead and do this right now. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you something, my friend. Don't you dare take this communion. Don't do it. You must be born again to partake of the Lord's communion. And that's why I want to go ahead and do this right now. You may be here and you're not born again, but you want this relationship with God. But you don't know if you want to, what religion you need to be, what this. Let me tell you something. It's not about religion. Get that out of your mind. And while others are praying and cleansing themselves, I want to tell you something, friend. God loves you right where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you there. He wants to commune with you today. He wants to come in unity with you today. He wants everything that he's promised that you could have to be able to come to you through the Son, Jesus Christ. He wants that closeness to you today. He wants that relationship, not a religion. And so with no strings attached this morning to where you can come in, even as a brand new Christian, you're worthy to take this communion today. So if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you're not joining the church today, you're not getting religion today, but what you're saying is, I cannot save myself. I cannot come close to God. I'm not in a real relationship with God. I know about him, but I don't know him. But today I want to surrender my life to Christ, where I cannot just take communion today, but I can commune with him every day and walk the rest of my life. Is there anybody in here to say today, I need to do that with no strings attached? Anybody? All right, that one young man's hand just went up right there. Hallelujah. One right back there. Are you lifting your hand up for it? There's another one right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Use this wisdom as a time of wisdom. All right, before we go any further, we're going to pray a sinner's prayer. Everybody together. Say this with me with our new brother and sister in Christ. Father, it's me. You created me and you know me. And I know you created me to be saved. And today, I choose of my own free will to understand that I cannot save myself. I cannot pay for my own sins. But today, I believe and know that your Son, Jesus the Christ, came and did all that for me. And today, I surrender my life to him. I repent of my sins, and I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I invite you into my heart, spirit, soul, and body, to renew me, to renew my mind, to renew my soul, and to save my spirit. So Lord, today I put myself in your hands, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And as of right now, by faith, I'm a born-again believer of Jesus Christ. I am a child of God, and nothing can take that away. in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. That's the best Christmas present you'll be involved in this whole time of Christmas. I mean, I'm going to have Christmas with my family, watch them open gifts, but I'm telling you, that's the best thing I'll be involved in all Christmas. Until I get a chance to lead somebody else maybe there before the Christmas is up. But I want you to go ahead and bow your heads one more time. And I want you to finish self-examining. Is there any bitterness? Is there any unforgiveness? Is there anything you just need to say, Lord, I need to turn this over to you right now, God. And I ask you to come in and just release me from it. Show yourself mighty in this area, God. Lord, I want to lift my marriage up to you, Lord. I haven't been there as much as I need to be. Lord, I want to lift my family up to you, kids, parents, whatever. I want to lift my job up to you, Lord. You know I haven't been excited and enthused and haven't seen the value of it sometimes. I want to repent for that, God. Lord, I just want to come with a clean mind, spirit, soul, and body and commune with you right now. Give you just a moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we bring all this to you knowing that you're the only one. And having faith, not in ourselves, God, not in what's going through our minds, because the devil's trying to beat some of you up right now so bad. Devil, in the name of Jesus, shut your mouth. Qualifies us to take communion is the blood of Jesus and recognizing it. No perfect man's ever taken it except Jesus. But Father, we just come and we repent. And we ask you to forgive us for our shortcomings. Everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. If you'll go ahead and take out your bread, give you just a moment to open it if you haven't already. Now, 1 Corinthians, you also find the communion in Matthew and the other Gospels. But I love this one in 1 Corinthians because it's Paul's instructions to the church before they take it. Because a lot of people were taking it in an unworthy manner, and it was showing up in the sickness and disease, afflictions and problems, and even death of the saints. And so he wanted to bring that correction and that right heart to take this. And then what I love about Paul when he gives the instruction here, and if you would, stand to your feet. And Paul's instruction, you're going to see it on the screen. Go ahead and put up 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25 says this. Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. He wanted you to have everything Paul had from Jesus. Isn't that awesome? One of the greatest men of the New Testament that wrote most of the New Testament says, I want you to have everything. He wasn't holding nothing back. He says, which I received from the Lord and which I delivered unto you. That the Lord, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. Next verse. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Now, don't eat it just yet. I want you to take that wafer and let's give God thanks. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving your whole body. You held nothing back. He was beaten from head to toe, striped on both sides to the bone, and put on the cross in front of everybody, and gave your body from our sins to be broken. Break that bread in half. So, Lord, we break that bread. And now take and eat in remembrance of that, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Then the next verse goes on and says, in the same manner, he, Jesus, also took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So let's lift it up. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. For you say how we're going to overcome the word is the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And so, Lord, we want to receive your blood this morning. The blood that washes us white as snow, that cleanses us, and the blood that was spilt for the final sacrifice ever to be made on earth for sin. And that's what we receive today as we drink this cup in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Of all the definitions I gave you about communion a while ago, here I want to give you an addition one. Go ahead and put up that next note. Communion with God brings His light into your life. Somebody say amen to that. Because before Christ, the Bible says you walked in darkness, you walked in sin. But that you've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, because He is the light of heaven. And when you accept Him, you receive that light into your life. And I'm going to read some verses because I know we're going to try to get you out of here at a respectful time this morning. Everybody say, my darkness. John chapter 1, verse 5 says this. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Before you came in, if you'll look around, there's no windows in this sanctuary. Turn the lights out, it gets dark in here. But as soon as you turn the lights on, nothing can stop it. And the only way it goes dark again is for the light to leave. As long as the light's here, darkness can't come against it. When you're walking with the light of Christ in you, darkness will try to come at you, but it can't overcome it. As long as you walk in the light, darkness cannot overcome the light. It is light that always takes out the darkness. Can I have a better amen there? Now, real quickly, in John chapter 8, verse 12, the words of Jesus here. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said to them, he says, he declared himself, I am the light of the world. Somebody say, thank you. And he says, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. So he declared, I'm the life, and I'm the light of the world. And he says, when you follow me, that light comes into you. Don't get excited this morning. I know it's Christmas time and it's a real solemn and this soft music's playing in the background, but don't get excited. I mean, this is just the awesomeness of the Word of God declaring here. Now let me tell you something about the word light. It's the word phos in Greek. Go ahead and put it up. It's the word phos. It means to shine. It means to stand in opposition to darkness. Thank you, Lord. Figuratively, it means sin, to stand in opposition to sin, meaning moral and spiritual light and knowledge which enlightens your mind, your soul, or conscience. And he said, that's what I put in you. He said, that's what I am. And when you get the I am that I am inside you, it becomes you. So inside of you is a light that opposes sin, because sin wants to bring darkness over you again. Sin wants to bring your past back up to you again. Sin wants to make what everybody else says more important than what God says. Sin makes you bow down to peer pressure, but the light leads you in a path that it doesn't matter if anybody else is around you, you stay on, because it leads to God. It is God, and God is in you. Do you know what I love about Christmas most? And sometimes we forget this. Oh, it's about baby Jesus. It is about baby Jesus. But baby Jesus is about you. Baby Jesus didn't come because he needed anything in the earth. You understand that? He didn't come because he needed to be born and have everybody recognize him. And he came because you and I needed him. We can't save ourselves. No matter what we do, we're never going to be good enough on our own merit, but because of Jesus. But when we meet Jesus, it makes us more than enough to walk this earth in His glory and have His light shining out of us at school. Yes. In our home. Yes. At our workplace. Yes. At our college. Yes. Wherever we're at, we are the light of the world. And this world is walking in darkness, a lot of it. And that's why we have to go and we have to be the light. Now let's finish the rest of that definition. It says, including also the idea of moral goodness, purity and holiness, of consequent reward and happiness. The happiest life you will ever live on planet Earth is when darkness has been shut out by the light of God in your life. That's the most joyful you'll ever be, is walking in the purity of Jesus Christ in your life. Those other things will appeal to your flesh to make you think, oh, this is a party, this is a good time, he, she, whatever, drinking, bumping, whatever you want to do. Oh, that's the life, that's the flesh. And Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You don't have to do that to be popular. You want to be popular, be populated in heaven. That's the best population you'll ever get. Let me read on real quickly. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Again, the words of Jesus Christ. Look at the very first word. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. You, my friend. You, sir. You, ma'am. You, young person. You that, yeah, may have been messed up a month ago. Yes, you. If you've come to Christ. You two today that raised your hand. You now are the light of this world. You're the light of the world. Nudge your neighbor and say, you're shining bright today. And you are to be shining bright. You carry God's light. And guys, these are the words of Jesus written in red in the Bible. He declared that. Nobody else did. And if he declared it, it's true about you. What if I don't feel like it? It doesn't matter. You are the light of the world. You are a city that's set on a hill that can't be hidden. Don't hide your salvation. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be proud to have the light of God wherever you're at. Hallelujah. Oh, I could preach this morning, but I'm going to try to hold on. You drop down two verses in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 5. He says, let your light. Again, you see, he's made it all about you this morning. Let your light shine. Where? Before men. Not in your prayer closet only. Not when nobody else is seeing it. Not just this church when everybody else is doing it, and it sure makes it a whole lot easier for you to go, woohoo. Yeah. But everywhere. Yeah. Anywhere you're around somebody, there ought to be no doubt that you're different. Let your light shine so before men. Why? That they may see your good works. Not bad works. But see your good works. Now what's this? What's it for? And glorify your Father in heaven. So in other words, our shine is to reflect our Father where people can see there's something different about him and her. They do good. Their heart's good. Their words are good. They must be saved. They must not be able to do this on their own because we live in the same world. They must have a power in Jesus Christ. And then when you tell them about Jesus, they glorify Jesus. Man, I knew you had it in you. I thought you was one of them. That's one of the greatest compliments I ever hear. I thought you was one. Now I always have to declare, which one are you talking about? I thought you were one of them Christians. I absolutely am. And I'm not just one of them. I'm a fanatical. Okay? I don't want to be known as just one. I want to be known as one of the radical fanaticals. Amen? Oh, I got to go quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Look at the second word again. But you are. Everybody say, I am. He says, you are my chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. I've made you a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him, God Almighty, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Guys, I stand before you today as a person years ago was in total darkness. Every single person here, if you're out of darkness, you only got out of darkness one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. I don't care how old you are, and you say, I've had some good times and I've done this, but I've never come to Christ, you're in darkness. Age does not get you out of light. Your parents didn't get you out of your light or out of your darkness. Nothing gets you out of darkness until you surrender to Jesus Christ. He is that light. And you've been called out of it into His marvelous light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This message we have heard. Today you cannot deny you haven't heard the message of Jesus Christ. Today, this message which we have heard from Him, and we declare it to you, watch this, that God is what?
Light.
And in Him what? There's no darkness. Now, I want you to get that out of the mind of seeing Him over there. Well, yeah, I know in heaven God is light and there's no darkness in heaven. In case you don't know that, there is no darkness in heaven. The only thing you will spend in heaven is one day. Every believer gets one day in heaven because there is no night. The Bible says Jesus Christ, the radiant of Him, lights heaven up 24/7. There is no night in heaven when you're in His presence. And my friends, we've read you scripture after scripture, just a handful this morning, that when you get born again, you get the light of God inside of you. You don't have to wait to get over there to come out of darkness. You're called to come out of darkness while you walk here on earth. As a matter of fact, you're called not just to come out of your darkness, but you're called to light up everything you see and touch. That if someone has darkness in them, you share the light. Amen? And that's what this is talking about this morning. We've heard this message, and we declare it to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And that's got to be true, or it's all a lie. Can I tell you, He's not a liar. And every bit of everything I've read about you today is absolute truth. But you have to receive that truth. You have to activate that truth, and you have to begin to walk that truth out on your own. And as you begin to walk in the light, God will put other lights around you to help you walk. But don't make no mistake, you're what the world needs if you're a born-again believer. And you've been baptized, and you commune with God, and you pray, and you seek Him daily, and you do what His Word says, you are exactly what the world needs. As a matter of fact, two more scriptures. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105 says this. He says, Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it lights up my path. My friend, even as a Christian, there's been times I know that we've been like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I'm not sure. I'm looking at making the wrong decision, some temptation. If you'll grab the Word of God before you make that final decision to go or do or whatever it is, if you'll just get the Word of God and say, Father, let me see what Your Word says about this. And I promise you, if you read the Word of God, and I've said it here a few times in the past, you will never, ever find God leading you into any sin. He will never lead you down that path. He can't lead you down that path. So if you will let the Word of God light up where you go and the decisions you make and how you live your life, you will live the blessed life. You will live above and beneath. You will live the head and not the tail. Amen? But He's done His part, and now He's asking you to do your part. But when you do your part and you begin to light this stuff up, and you begin to walk in the fullness of communing with God on a daily basis, remembering Him in everything you do, understanding there's a light inside you that darkness cannot penetrate, then we finally get to the last scripture today. Psalm 119, verse 130. Look at that. Break open Your Word within me until revelation light shines out. Woo, let this stuff radiate you. Open that. Every time you open this up, light. Light and life. Signs and wonders and miracles. Strength and glory and knowledge and wisdom just oozes out of this. Why? Because it lights up There's two Greek words, or two Hebrew words used for this Bible. One is called, there's two pronouncements, you can pronounce it logos or logos. It means the written word. Woo! We've got the written word of God. But when that light hits it, and it's not just the written word of God, there's another elevation of the word of God that should come to every believer. And that second word is rhema. So I can go down through here and I can read scriptures like, break open the word within me until revelation light shines out. Those who open hearts are given insight into your plans. Now I can skim over that and get the logos, or I can let the Spirit of God light that verse up to me. What happens when it's lit up? It goes from logos or logos to rhema word. Let me give you just a quick definition, simple definition of rhema. Quickened, made alive, word of God. In other words, that applies to me. I receive it. I'm going to walk it out. It's not just into my bedtime story time. It's not just a quick devotion time. It is my lifeline. And that's why he says, let me read it to you one more time. Break open your word within me until revelation light shines, until rhema comes, God. That quickened, made alive word of God that shines out of it. And those with open hearts are given insights into your plans. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? It's his word. What should you do about that next big decision? Get some rhema about it out of the word of God. This word is for you. It's not against you. This word is a word of encouragement, not a list of things you can't do. Amen? Everybody say rhema word. Now the word light here, where phos is the Greek word for light, or is the Hebrew word for light. Put up the definition of the Hebrew here. It means to give light. It means to shine, for you to shine. And I love this last part. Look at that. To become light. To become light. The more you get into God and his word and who and what Jesus done for you and is for you right now, and the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in every believer, you are becoming more and more like his light every day that you apply it. So the best thing you can give God for Christmas is a little more of your light. Let him shine into your life a little more brighter. Because when he shines in brighter in you, you shine brighter to the world. Amen? I'm going to ask our band to come back up here. You've got a candle. I'm going to ask you to take it out. Jesus has declared, you are the light of the world. And I'm going to tell them to dim the lights in here. I want you to go ahead and turn it on. Can we black the stage out too? Take your light, take your other hand, and just put over it and around it. And you can lift it up, cupped in your hand. Just cover up the light with your fist. Put it in your fist. It's pretty dim in here with that. Now watch this. Hold it with the other hand, both hands on the candle. Hold it up. Now watch what's happened when you take yourself out of the way. Friend, listen to me real closely. When you get born again, the only thing that can stop your light of Christ shining is you. You'll be the only thing that can hide it. And you'll say, no, it's the devil. No, my friend, the devil, he doesn't have the power to put out the light of God. The only thing he can do is tempt you to cover it. But even though it's covered, it's still on in there. You can't see my light right now, can you? It's because I have it covered. But at any time, he says, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So as you lift it up today, I don't know if this is coming through on the cameras or not, but this is powerful. And as much as your light as this right here represents your life, let your light shine before all men that they may see your good works and that they may turn and glorify the Father in you. That's powerful. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you're the original light, but you're contagious with it. And inside every born-again believer, and there's some of you going, I just don't feel it. I've done this. You had a chance. You got rid of that a while ago. Remember, you gave that to God a while ago in communion. And if God cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, you have no right bringing them back up to him. Don't concentrate on your worthiness. Concentrate on the blood of Jesus. And his light is your light now. But people remember my past, and that's all they're going to do when they see me. Well, that's on them. It's not on you anymore. And if you walk in that light and you light it up long enough, they'll forget about the darkness that used to be around you. But the reason they want to pull you back is because they're walking in darkness themselves. We always make a joke of people saying, don't go to the light, don't go to the light. If you see it, don't go to it. You'll be gone. Can I tell you, don't go to the darkness. Go to the light. Let your light shine. Father, we thank you for this time. I believe with all my heart that in heaven, it talks about sounds of heaven. It talks about bells and harps and stringed instruments and the high-sounding cymbals. And I know in heaven there's a carol of bells that bring glory to God. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.